Test, test. This thing on. Check, check. 1, 1, 2. Oh, hey, what's up? I got my voice back. Well, a little bit. It has gotten better as the day's gone on, so it should be more a pleasant listen here today on a Monday morning. We're going to recap a little bit more of that Music City Bowl, going to hear some highlight calls, going to talk more in-depth, had my rewatch over the weekend, so tons of more review content from the Music City Bowl. I know it was a disappointing outcome, but the 2021 season, it's officially over, and there's still a lot to celebrate. So that is what is on the docket here for Monday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into a Monday morning of Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen, as always. And I am your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kaner on Twitter, at Locked On Vols. Every single weekday morning when you wake up on every single platform available, it's Locked On Vols, completely free for your listening pleasure. Don't forget, tomorrow is Twitter Tuesday. Some of you guys have already sent me in some Twitter Tuesday questions that we're going to get into. So at underscore Kaner, at Locked On Vols, Twitter Tuesday on Tennessee football, basketball, recruiting, whatever questions you have, we'll talk about it tomorrow. It's when you take over the show, Twitter Tuesday, coming up on tomorrow's Locked On Vols. So had a chance to go back, do the rewatch. I made my review of VolQuest.com. Made a bunch of notes. You guys can check that out. I will tag that into the show notes of this episode as well. So if you guys want to go back and watch, and obviously a lot to like, a lot to not like on the defensive side of the football. A lot of what we talked about on Friday morning, kind of instant reactions as I taped that podcast just really about an hour or two after the ball game had been over. And so that was more kind of big picture disappointments. I know what you guys are kind of thinking. Talked a little bit about the records that were broken from that Music City Bowl, but we'll get into the nitty gritty here today as we kind of look back and tie a bow officially on this 2021 season, then, or at least from the game aspect. And we'll go back and do position, you know, reviews as the week goes on. We'll look at the quarterback position, the receiver position, all that stuff. So that's what's coming up here in a little bit. But let's go ahead and look at more of the Music City Bowl, shall we? Want to go ahead and get us off on a good note. There was a lot of scoring in this football game, a whole lot of highlight plays, a whole lot to celebrate. So we're going to run through here kind of the scoring. It was back and forth, and you're going to hear the audio calls from the Vol Radio Network. So kicking this things off here, just, you know, Tennessee kicked the football off. Purdue went for it on 4th and 2 on that opening possession and did not get it. So Tennessee took over, marched down the field, scored on 4 plays, 55 yards, only took 44 seconds off the clock. And, of course, the heavy hitter going to Cedric Tillman, a 41-yard touchdown pass to get the scoring open, and the Volunteers up on the Purdue Boilermakers 7-0.
First down, Tennessee. Hooker back to throw. Guns for the end zone, trying to get there and make the catch. Touchdown, Tennessee, Cedric Tillman. Hooker on the bomb to Cedric Tillman, 41 yards.
Not even really less than 13 seconds later. Actually, that was what that scoring play drive was. Of course, Kamal Haddon went off the field. He was having his shoulder popped in and out of place, it looked like, all night long. So he was in and out. Of course, no Alante Taylor, no Brandon Turnage in this game. So Kamal Haddon got the start at corner, but he was in and out of the lineup. So that meant true freshman Deshaun Rucker had to come in. And Jeff Brohm immediately attacks the true freshman Deshaun Rucker, going with Bryce Thompson, 75-yard touchdown. Brock Thompson, 75-yard touchdown reception from Aiden O'Connell to make the score 7-7. A really nice play call because they rolled the action out to the right. It pulled the safeties over there and made that one-on-one matchup, and Thompson was able to exploit it. Well, the game was tied for maybe about 5 minutes, and Tennessee got back on top 14-7. 2 plays, 63 yards, 27-second scoring drive. The second touchdown reception of the game for Cedric Tillman. Here is how it sounded via the Vol Radio Network.
Second down and 8. Back to throw, Hendon Hooker. Sets up, hit as he throws, fires long for the Cedric Tillman. He gets it at the 20, to the 10. Touchdown, Tennessee, another bomb. Hendon Hooker to Cedric Tillman. 61 yards this time. Tillman just took off. He was spread all the way to the sideline. Ran down, got the catch. And a penalty flag is down, but it's a hold on Purdue. Ooh. And so Tennessee scores again. And the same hookup, Hendon Hooker to Cedric Tillman.
Now, this is when you thought Tennessee was on its way to a blowout. Jabari Small, 2-yard run, capping an 8-play, 80-yard drive, taking 2:14 off the clock. Tennessee goes up 21-7 with this Jabari Small touchdown run.
First and goal at the 2. Handoff tailback. Jabari Small right at the middle. Bang. Touchdown, Tennessee. Jabari Small takes it in from 2 yards out. And now Tennessee leads Purdue here in the first quarter, 20-7 with 3:29 to go. That time the offensive line just took over, and Jabari Small powers in for his 9th rushing touchdown of the season.
But then the second quarter happens. Tennessee was ahead 21-7. Purdue comes back, chips away with 3 Finneran, I think that's how you say his name, Finneran field goals of 24, 36, and 29 yards. And, of course, Tennessee got the ball back, trying to go through one last scoring drive there in the second quarter. Hendon Hooker fumbles. It is what it is. You've got Purdue that sets up and scores on a Durham 2-yard touchdown pass before the half, and it's 23-21 Purdue in a quarter that was just horrific for Tennessee. In fact, I broke down the numbers a little bit. This was at halftime the other night. Here's the second quarter numbers. Vols collected 60 yards on 22 plays for an average of 2.72 yards per play. No points in that quarter for Tennessee. Purdue had 155 yards of total offense in the second quarter on 22 plays for an average of 7.04 yards per play. 16 points off 3 field goals and a touchdown. Now keep in mind, Tennessee finished the game. Well, you probably know they were going to lose when you saw the total offense was 666 yards of total offense. 60 of that came from the second quarter. So literally 606 yards of total offense in quarters 1, 3, and 4 for Tennessee. Only 60 in the second quarter. It's pretty hard to believe when you break it down that way. But nonetheless, Tennessee's behind 23-21 at the halftime break. Well, Tennessee, as it does, it comes out strong. 15-yard pass from Hendon Hooker to Valus Jones. This was a screen pass and great blocking on the perimeter. Tennessee goes back up 28-23. Here's Bob Kessling.
Hooker swings the pass out left. Pass complete at the 5-yard line and in the end zone. Touchdown, Valus Jones. They spread him out. Hooker fired the ball to the left sideline, and Valus Jones able to catch it, dodge a man. Javonte Payton made a great block, and Tennessee takes the lead on the touchdown strike from Hendon Hooker of 15 yards to Valus Jones.
Well, the seesaw battle continues. Sheffield gets into the scoring, a 10-yard pass from Aiden O'Connell, capping a 9-play, 75-yard drive, 3:41, and Purdue goes ahead 32-28. Chase McGrath gives Tennessee the lead once again. A 30-yard field goal makes it 31-30 with about 3:44 left in the third quarter. And then that's all the scoring. It was 31-30 up until the just under the 5-minute mark in the fourth quarter. And that is when just the horrific play where the tight end Durham catches one over the middle, Aaron Beasley and about 5 other volunteers have him wrapped up and then just let go on the sideline. He goes down the sideline, and then you got McCullough trying to get in front of him and bounce the ball loose and just did that for about 15 yards into the end zone. Purdue gets the 2-point conversion, and they go 38-31 with 4:58 left in the ball game. That was, I know there's a lot of bad defensive plays. We'll get into those individually here in a little bit. But that was the ugliest play of the football game for the Tennessee Volunteers. Just awful. Well, Purdue's up 38-31. Tennessee, they come right back. Cedric Tillman gets the hat trick. A 13-yard touchdown reception. You've got Pat Ryan on the call that you're going to hear in just a moment. He calls it. It is a slant to Cedric Tillman. And the Volunteers cap a 5-play, 65-yard drive, a minute 16 off the clock. And the score is 38-all.
Here's Hooker out of the shotgun. 3 wideouts to the left. Fourth and goal at the 13. Tennessee down 38-31. 3:41 to go in the fourth quarter.
You got a slant pattern to Tillman on the right side.
Hooker looks, fires for the end zone. Pass complete. Touchdown, Tennessee. You called it, Cedric Tillman on the slant. And Tillman gets his 3rd touchdown grab of the night. And Tennessee is pulled back to within 1.
Well, the Music City Bowl MVP, Brock Thompson, who could barely walk, but he sure could run. He gets back into the action. 70-yard touchdown pass from O'Connell, giving Purdue a 45-38 lead with 2:57 left in the ball game as this fourth quarter continued to get a little nuttier. Then Tennessee, of course, ties the ball game. And it was really great to see this from Jalen Hyatt. Great expectations coming into the season. A little bit of a down year for Jalen Hyatt. Fell out of that rotation to the top 3. He was the 4th receiver all season long. He gets into the end zone. This was big for Tennessee, obviously, tying the ball game, setting themselves up to win it, but also just for him moving forward, because Tennessee will have to count on Jalin Hyatt moving forward. This ties at 45-all, a two-yard touchdown pass, beautiful throw from Hooker, and a great catch from the backpedaling Jalin Hyatt.
Hooker back to throw, looks, fires for the end zone, pass is going to be bobbled. Did he catch it?
Yes,
touchdown,
he did.
Tennessee, back of the end zone, Jalin Hyatt makes the catch in the back corner. As again, a perfectly thrown ball by Hendon Hooker, and Hyatt makes the grab to pull Tennessee to within one. What a throw by Hendon Hooker. We keep saying that all night, don't we, Pat?
Yeah, we have here in the second half. Now, he just a perfect little inside fade route. He put the certain amount of, perfect amount of air on it to save Hyatt enough room to catch it and get his feet down.
Cam Allen was on defense on that play, and Jalin Hyatt able to make the grab in the back quarter of the end zone on the fade pattern, and Hendon Hooker is struck again.
Tennessee had an opportunity to, you know, go and try to kick a game-winning field goal. It missed. We'll talk about the last drive later on in this podcast, because there was a whole lot that I hated about that from a play-calling aspect. But then again, in overtime, you had the incident on the goal line when they call forward progress. You had another Finneran 39-yard field goal, and that was the winner at 48-45. So those were the scoring plays. Tennessee scored 21 in the first quarter, none in the second quarter, 10 in the third quarter, 14 in the fourth quarter for 45 points. Yet Purdue that scored 7 in the first, 16 in the second, 7 in the third, and 15 in the fourth, along with 3 in overtime to get that 48-45 win. The announced attendance at Nissan Stadium, 69,489. That is a Music City Bowl record. Tennessee finishes its season 7-6. Purdue finishes at 9-4. So we'll get into some more of my thoughts, some more of the notes that I made, and some more of the stats from the Music City Bowl when we return here on Locked On Vols. But I want to remind you guys, it's about Built Bar. New Year, so that means New Year's resolutions, right? We all have them. If yours is to get fit or to eat healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better. Maybe even better than a candy bar. Built Bar, it makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good, you're going to want to eat it, unlike other protein bars that can be chalky, waxier, tastes like a chemical spill, to be honest. If you want to eat healthy, but it just gets so boring, by week three, you're often contemplating, is this even worth it? Where's the chocolate? Built Bars, they're covered in 100% chocolate. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, 17 grams of proteins compared to a candy bar that's usually somewhere around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. So here's what you need to do. You need to go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you're going to get 15% off your order. Again, that is Built.com, LOCK15, for 15% off, all at Built.com. A quick reminder, everybody, today's episode is brought to you by Sonos. Experience the game like never before with Sonos Arc. That's the premium smart soundbar for TVs, movies, music, gaming, and a whole lot more. Visit Sonos.com to learn more about it. So we are continuing to look back at the Music City Bowl. I know that game was played on Thursday evening, but we got an instant reaction as I was kind of packing up my week-long trek over in Nashville Thursday night. Got you immediate reactions for Friday morning. Now we're hearing the highlight calls, diving into the stats a little bit more, and kind of, you know, attacking this game from a little bit of a different angle. It was disappointing, and I know a lot of you guys have reached out to me and said that you guys get tired of, and I say it sometimes too, so I'm not innocent all this, but the bowl games don't matter anymore. And I mean, I think if anything, this past weekend has taught us something. It's bowl games matter for the players. I mean, if you're there, you're trying to win, you're trying to compete. I mean, look at Matt Corral. I mean, you don't want him to be the poster child for it, but it's a guy that got hurt. You hope that it doesn't hurt his stock or anything, but he chose to play in the bowl game. I mean, of course it means something to Matt Corral. You saw these Tennessee football players. Some of them were in tears after the game at the Music City Bowl, and this is just the Music City Bowl, for crying out loud, right? But the game of football means something. I mean, it's always sad when it's over and when you lose like that. So, I mean, I hear you. It means something for sure, and this is a game that Tennessee wanted and came up just a little bit short. So it is disappointing. Just like Josh Heupel said Thursday night, it's disappointing the way it ended. But there's still a lot, the journey getting here for this, you know, season one under the Heupel administration was a whole lot of fun. And you hope that the good times continue to roll and Tennessee starts to win even, you know, some more football games, maybe 8, maybe 9 in the regular season, who knows. And we'll have a whole offseason to evaluate this roster. And you guys know I'm going to tell you the shortcomings where the roster is, and you know I'm going to tell you everything that's wrong with what's going on right now. That's my job, right? But, you know, that's not really for this episode. But when you look at some of the things that went well and some of the things that went wrong in this game, I tally these up. Explosive passing plays for Tennessee. I characterize those as plays of 20 yards or more, and Tennessee scored on two of these types of plays. Two of those to Hendon Hooker, both in the first quarter, 41 yards and 61 yards. Hooker also had a 31-yard completion to Jalen Hyatt, had a 24-yard completion to Javonte Payton, had a 30-yard completion to Valus Jones, and had a 58-yard completion to Princeton Fant. Explosive plays, running plays for Tennessee. I had him at, let's see here, only two. That's at 15 yards or more. Jabari Small 18 yards up the middle, and Jabari Small 60 yards up the middle. Those were the only two, but three other bigger runs of 18 yards, 13 yards, and 12 yards in the ball game. And so technically, according to my calculations, that should be three. So three of those runs that what I would consider explosive plays. I wrote this down wrong, but two other runs that were 13 yards and 12 yards that were over 10 yards, of course, and Hooker had a rush of 10 yards as well. So things were working for Tennessee in this football game. Look at Purdue. They had no explosive run plays of 15 yards or more. Horvath, who's going to be a stud in the National Football League, in my opinion, 11 yards was his longest run for Purdue. But, man, O'Connell, he had 10 plays of completing passes of 20 yards or more, okay? So he had a 75-yard touchdown to Brock Thompson. He had a 34-yard completion to Thompson. He had a 29-yard completion to Anthrop. He had a 41-yard completion to Anthrop. He had a 38-yard completion to Sheffield, a 26-yard completion to Burks, 26 yards to Horvath. He had a 25-yarder to Miller. He had a 21-yarder to Downing. He had a 62-yard touchdown pass to Durham, and he had a 70-yard touchdown pass to Thompson as well in this football game. So there was a lot on that side as well. I mean, obviously, they scored 48 points and won the football game, but a whole lot of offensive fireworks for Tennessee. I continue to be asked about the disparity and the penalties in this football game. Tennessee was penalized 14 times for 128 yards. Purdue was penalized 5 times for 61 yards. I will say this. Tennessee, this crew from the ACC was very flag happy in terms of pass interference. You had Warren Burrell that was flagged for DPI, defensive pass interference, 4 times in this game, twice on back-to-back plays. That was a sequence in the fourth quarter. The first time, he did interfere. Okay, the second time, I thought it was a weak blank call. As old Will Wade would say, a strong-ass offer, I thought it was a weak-ass call on that second one for Burrell. But I'm not going to lie to you. A lot of these penalties, it was pass interference. You had Jeremy Banks in the first quarter. That was pass interference. And I'm a former linebacker, and I know how hard it is to cover in space, so I'm not putting that on him. I'm just saying that was pass interference. You had Kamal Haddon later on in the first quarter. That was pass interference. Then you had Burrell. You had illegal formation from Tennessee. You had a false start from Princeton Fant. You had a false start on Mays. I'm not sure how the center gets a false start. You had a defensive pass interference from Theo Jackson, which, I mean, sure, I understand why they called that. That was a critical third down play, but I mean, you can't put hands on anybody nowadays. Burrell had another defensive pass interference. You had Jabari Small had a false start. Those two back-to-backs on Burrell that I was talking about. Then Javonte Spraggins. That was on the touchdown that got called back. Tennessee scored on a touchdown to, I believe that was Jalen Hyde a couple plays later. But, yeah, Javonte Spraggins tackled the guy. So I saw that one being a hold. So to answer y'all's questions, if you had questions for what Tennessee was flagged for, I had an issue with maybe three of them, maybe. Thought they were tic-tacky on the pass interference, but it is what it is, right? I mean, it is what it is. Another was asked about, or more of you guys were asking about just bad misses. You can miss. You're not going to be perfect in throwing the football every single game, right? But Hooker had a number of bad misses. In fact, to my calculations, and maybe I'm nitpicking here, but there were 10 misses that I considered bad from Hooker. The majority of them were throwing down the field, okay? You had one to Javonte Payton on the opening series, just flat out missed him. You had another one to Javonte Payton a couple of series later whenever the play broke down and Hooker was going out to his left. He just missed Payton. That could have been a touchdown. You missed Tillman down the seam in the second quarter. You missed Javonte Payton, or you had Javonte Payton and Valus Jones running goes in the same spot in the fourth quarter or in the second quarter, so that could have been just a miscommunication. You missed Valus Jones on a go route in the second quarter. You missed Tillman wide open in the end zone in the second quarter. You missed Jones and Tillman that were in the same spot again in the second quarter. A lot of these struggles coming from the second quarter, right? Another miscommunication with Hyatt in the second quarter. And those were all in the first half. He had two more in the fourth quarter, but I thought the first half he missed a lot. He was much more accurate That being Hendon Hooker in quarters 3 and 4. Now, keep in mind, he still threw for 5 touchdowns. He still threw for almost 400 yards. He still broke a ton of records in this game. But he was still very average is how he was kind of describing himself post-game, and I couldn't agree more. I thought that he played a good game, but he could have played a great game if he would have made some of these throws. He missed Hyatt down the middle of the field in the fourth quarter, and then he missed Valus Jones on that last drive trying to set up the field goal. Man, that would have been a touchdown. Just overthrew him, right? Just overthrew him. I do a category each and every game. And again, if you guys read my reviews at VolQuest.com, you've seen it. Who's hot? Well, Cedric Tillman was hot in this game. Valus Jones is hot in this game. Hendon Hooker was hot in this game. Jeremy Banks had an outstanding game. I had a number of you guys want to DM me and hit me up on Twitter because you guys know how I get after Jeremy Banks. He had an outstanding game. Sure. Was he perfect? No, he was not. But he played a really, really good game. He has improved very much this year. Very, very much. Unlimited potential. Just trying to learn how to tap it, play within himself. And, of course, he's learned how to play linebacker. So, got a ways to go, but he had a tremendous game. Broke a school record. And Jabari Small played a fantastic game. I thought Kamal hadn't played a good game. He was battling through some injuries, but I thought Kamal hadn't played a good game filling in for Alante Taylor. Just wish he was out there for some more snaps. But who's not? Well, it's been a rough 4-5 game stretch for Warren Burrell. A really rough 4-5 game stretch for Warren Burrell. On one of those touchdowns there late in the fourth quarter, I think it was the one that they went up 45-38. He just fell, just flat out fell. And this is after he's been flagged a couple of times. It got so bad there towards the end of the fourth quarter, Theo Jackson shifted to cornerback, and he brought in Danico Slaughter to play the star. That's how bad it got for Warren Burrell. So who's not? Warren Burrell, Deshaun Rucker. I'm not saying that he won't be a good cornerback one day, but he wasn't good on Thursday. And every time Brohm saw that he was in the football game, they attacked him. Jalen McCullough, just not a good season for Tennessee safeties. Not a good season for Tennessee safeties. And then lastly, who's not? Well, short yardage, situational play calling. How many times this year in third and short, fourth and short, are you just doing run up the middle, run up the middle, run up the middle? It's what Tennessee did on the goal line twice at the end of the ball game. It's what Tennessee did earlier in the ball game whenever it turned it over on downs. Just no ingenuity, right? I mean, just no, like, come on now. Short yardage situational play calling has just been disgusting all season long. So those are a couple of the notes that I took, and you guys can read all of my notes later. I'm at VolQuest.com. I will tag these into the story, but those are some of the things that I saw. We'll talk a little bit more about some more things I saw. Plus, Cade Mays made it official over the weekend. He is going to enter the NFL draft. So we'll have more on this when we return here at here on Locked On Vols. But before we get into that, I do want to just let you guys know, again, this is Locked On Vols, and I am your host, Eric Kane, and I'm here with an incredible app that everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called GetUpside. My listeners right now are making up to 25 cents off every single gallon every time you fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app at App Store or in Google Play right now. Use the promo code Touchdown. Just kidding. Promo code SCORE. One more time, promo code SCORE, and you're going to get a bonus 25 cents off per gallon on your first fill up. All right, that's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back by using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use the promo code SCORE to get up to 50 cents off a gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making so much as times as $200 to $300 a month cash back, and there's no catch, all right? The cash back adds right up to your account. You can cash out at any time to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon or other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app, use the promo code SCORE to get up to 50 cents off a gallon cash back on your first tank. That's promo code SCORE at GetUpside. One more segment here on a Monday Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for being here, guys. You guys know it, Locked On Vols. Every single weekday morning, every platform you can possibly imagine. I went ahead and put in the paperwork for YouTube. So you guys know me. I've been trying to put off YouTube for quite some time. Put in the paperwork for it. So that really will be coming soon, just at some point or another. All right, a couple more things on the Music City Bowl. A note on Cade Mays, and then we're going to get you out the door. I mean, Tennessee offensively, just what a game, right? 666 yards of total offense. Again, 6.3 yards per play. Tennessee had one turnover. It was that lost fumble that led to the touchdown before the half for Purdue. Tennessee was penalized 14 times for 128 yards. That's not great. 378 yards passing, 288 yards rushing. Purdue only ran it for 93 yards. That's only 11 more yards than its season average. but it accumulated 534 yards of passing from Aiden O'Connell. So Tennessee's Hendon Hooker, 26 of 42, 5 touchdowns, 378 yards, and was sacked only twice. Jabari Small, quietly, right? I thought he played an outstanding football game, but durability is going to be an issue for him. I mean, he cannot stay out there for, you know, series after series after series. So he's got a – this offseason is going to be huge for Jabari Small. So I thought durability was a big concern for him in this football game, but 26 carries, 180 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, he played a hell of a game, right? I thought Jalen Wright did okay, averaged 3.2 yards per play. He's just – you know, weight room for him. He's a scat back type guy. He's just got to be able to put on some more weight a little bit. But he scored a touchdown. And at the very end, again, you know, with that forward progress thing, I went back. I reviewed it. I watched it over and over. Number one, the whistle blows after the ball is outstretched in the end zone. Okay, I made sure to listen for that the entire time. The when I'm up in the press box, I can't hear anything. So, like, at the, in real time, I didn't know that they gave forward progress as the indicator for why the play was blown dead. So I go back out there and they say it immediately on the broadcast, the officials do and all that. And so I'm just sitting here watching, and like when you slow it down, if you put anything into slow motion, I understand if you put anything into slow motion, you can make the case for anything. So like, it looks like his forward progress has stopped. But again, I think I said this on the podcast the other night. I mean, if this play is happening at the 40-yard line, in fact, let me give you a situation earlier in the second half. This play, Jabari Small got stuffed up the middle, but he kept turning his legs, and it looked like they could have blown the play dead, but they didn't. It was on 3rd and 2, and Tennessee pushed him forward 3 or 4 more yards. Hey, they didn't blow the play dead then. Why do they blow the play dead now? And it's not just Tennessee. It happens all across the board. So my issue is not really with, if you want to call forward progress in that circumstance, do it. But be consistent. That's my thing. Why are you choosing in that play, in that situation with the game online, to be consistent or to blow it dead there when you didn't earlier in the football game? That's preposterous. Also, they could have called a flag on Princeton Pham from being above him and pulling him in the end zone. You can't do that. So, again, if we're nitpicking here, there's a penalty there as well. But my point is, it's infuriating to me, and I know it's infuriating to you as fans of teams and to live and breathe on every single, you know, snap of the football. For it to end like that, that's just, it's unfortunate. He got stopped. He point blank did. And then it didn't take until a replay up in the booth for me to see it. I didn't see him stretch that ball across. He was not down. That ball was stretched across. I mean, that's a touchdown. That is a touchdown. And for Tennessee to lose that way, it's unfortunate, and I hate it. I really, really do. I understand why they would make that call, but if you're gonna make that call then, you gotta make it in the third quarter too. That's what pisses me off about the whole thing. So that's my little rant. I said I would talk about the play calling there at the end of the fourth quarter. Okay, Tennessee was going for it all, right? Tennessee, if you remember the sequence of plays before halftime against Kentucky, whenever Tennessee stole 3 points, well, they just went quick out the Tillman, quick out the Tillman, quick out the Tillman, kicked the field goal, stole 3 points, 16 seconds off the clock, right? That wasn't really the case with, you know, what would happen here. He did take timeouts, you know, the play before, the series before and all that, but you don't trust Chase McGrath, right? And I understand he's not a guy with a big leg. He just never is. I get in arguments with Ben McKee all the time. Ben McKee thinks he's a good kicker. I think he's solid. I think he's dependable. He makes what he's supposed to make. That's great. I mean, Chase McGrath, I mean, this is no disrespect to him. He's not a kicker I want to put out there 45 plus. I just don't. I think his season long this year is like 47, and that's fine, but he's perfect 30 within. He's missed some 40-plus, and then that was the first field goal attempt, 50-plus he's attempted all season long. In fact, in his career, 4 years at USC, he attempted only 4 kicks of 50-plus, okay, meaning 50 yards or more. He only attempted 4, made 2 of them, a career-long of 53 yards in 2019. So Chase McGrath is not your Brent Simaglia that can go out there and boot it, right? He's just not, and that's okay. So why in the world are you taking shots down the field? You have 3 timeouts. Why are you not attacking the middle of the field, trying to set up your kicker at a 40 to 45-yard range? I thought that, for as much good as Heupel's done this year, I thought that sequence right there was just as bad. It was so bad, right? And he admitted to it after the game. That's fine. You learn from it. Again, this is the Music City Bowl. This is not a regular season game against Florida or Georgia or Alabama or Kentucky, okay? This is a Music City Bowl. Yes, it matters, but it mattered, you know, in terms of potentially winning this game. I'll say that. I just thought it was a horrific sequence of play calling. You took a shot down to Jones, and to Heupel's credit, if Hooker would have made the throw, would have been a touchdown. Jones had his man beat. The very next play, you tried to go deep again to Tillman. It was overthrown, but if you go back and look, Tillman got held. Tillman got held considerably. They didn't call it. Tillman got held. So potentially, if Tillman didn't get held, who knows what would have happened. So the plays were there to go score. I'm not saying that they weren't drawn up nicely. I'm just saying, why not attack the middle of the field with your three timeouts to help your field goal kicker out? So that's my biggest beef from the day. All right, let's get back to the stat sheet again. Jabari Small, quiet day, 180 yards and a touchdown. Valus Jones, a career-high 10 receptions, 85 yards and a touchdown. Cedric Tillman, he went for 7, a buck 50, 3 touchdowns. He had a hell of a game. Princeton Fant, 3 receptions, 71 yards. You know, he got better as the game went on, but boy, he had a couple of dropskis in this football game that really hurt his quarterback, Hendon Hooker, who was struggling at the time. Jalen Hyatt, a touchdown, 3 receptions, 35 yards. Javonte Payton, 2 receptions, 35 yards. And Jabari Small had a reception for 2 yards. Look at the defense. Jeremy Banks, 20 tackles. That is a Music City Bowl record. That is a Tennessee in-game record, tied it at least. And that is obviously a career high. Tennessee also had 8 TFLs on the season. That means they had the most or on the game. I don't have the total in front of me, but the 2021 Tennessee Volunteers, the most TFLs in history. So congratulations to them. I read over a bunch of other game records and school records as well from the other night. But that's pretty much it. Music City Bowl, disappointing? Absolutely. Was there a lot of positives? For sure. Whole lot of negatives, especially at the cornerback position, especially at the safety position, that defensive backfield. A lot of room to grow, and Tennessee is going to look to do that here in the 2022 season next year. So we will recap everything that was each position group as the week goes on. But for a final time in the Music City Bowl, it was a wrap, 48-45, the final score. Want to end our show by, you know, kind of bringing on this podcast. Cade Mays made it official over the weekend. I'm going to attempt to read what he put out on social media. It's kind of an awkward font, so I'm going to be 70 years old trying to read this. This is from Cade Mays, put it out on Instagram. Being a kid from small town in East Tennessee, it was an honor to wear the orange and white and play Neyland Stadium in front of all-time amazing fans here in Knoxville. I would like to thank God for the blessings He has given me and my family for the support, love, and guidance they have given me as well. Thank you to Coach Pruitt and his staff for giving me the opportunity to come to Tennessee, to Coach Heupel, Coach Ellerby, and the rest of the Tennessee football staff. Thank you for your hard work, knowledge, and sense of family that you brought to me and to our team. To the training staff, especially Geronimo, Bochy, Dario Gonzalez, Dr. Klink, and Dr. Rapay, thanks for your countless hours of work and to ensure my body was healthy every time I set that onto the field. To my brother Cooper, who would have thought our dreams would come true? It has been the biggest honor and blessing to be able to share this experience with you. I'll forever cherish the memories we made together. To all the teammates, my brothers, thank you for your unwavering commitment to change the culture of Tennessee and to leave it better than we found it. The memories we made and the impact we have made or we have had on my life simply can't be put into words. To my biggest fan, my little brother, Camp, thank you for letting me be your role model. I'm proud of you and love you, Camper. I'm excited to announce I'm going to continue to pursue my dream of playing in the NFL and will be entering the 2022 NFL Draft. Tennessee will always be part of me, and I promise to make you all proud. Signed, Cade Mays. All right, so that was the announcement he put out on social media over the weekend. Surprise to no one. We thought that was kind of going to be the situation here. You hate to miss Cade Mays. He was an all-conference lineman this year. Best of luck to him. Hopefully, durability-wise, he makes it into a camp and his body's able to hold up. Probably looking at like being a mid-round to late-round pick. We'll have to dive into his exact projectiles at another day. But, you know, good luck, Cade Mays. I thought that potentially you could have helped yourself out if you're coming back, but it's hard to turn down any type of guaranteed money when it's out there, right? So Cade Mays is going on to the NFL. That leaves Tennessee bringing back 4 or 5 starting offensive linemen, 2 tight ends, running back, quarterback, and your top wide receiver. So this offense, an opportunity to really, you know, just pick up where you left off in 2022. The defense will need a lot of work, and of course we know that, and we will talk about that all here on Locked On Vols leading up to the 2022 season. So that is a Monday show. Don't forget, Twitter Tuesday is coming up tomorrow. Get me your Twitter Tuesdays, your questions, your comments, your concerns on football, basketball, recruiting, and hoops, whatever the case may be. Twitter Tuesday, it is when you take over the show. Thanks so much for listening to Locked On Vols. Don't forget to check out Locked On Bets. Make that your second listen as we say goodbye to you out the door. Guys, hope you had a great new year, a safe weekend, and can't wait to talk to you again tomorrow on Twitter Tuesday here on Locked On Vols.